Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily pop reading for July 11th, 2019, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and have all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I own, and if I give up my body that I may be burned, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it does not brag, it is not arrogant, it does not behave indecently, it is not selfish. It is not irritable, it does not keep a record of wrongs, it does not rejoice over unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never comes to an end, but if there are prophetic gifts, they will be done away with. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when that which is complete has come, then that which is partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish things away. Now we see indirectly using a mirror, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I was fully known. So now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. This is the word of our God. This chapter is probably one of the more familiar, if not the most familiar passage and selection in all of 1 Corinthians, rivaled perhaps by 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the great resurrection chapter. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 finds its way into wedding sermons. It's a very appropriate place there. Wall plaques and all sorts of other readings and home decor. Because what Paul says here, it seems so basic and yet so beautiful and so applicable. But we also need to remember that he's writing here in a letter to these Corinthians who have never read 1 Corinthians 13 before. Right? Maybe that seems obvious to you. It didn't to me. Because these Corinthians are acting in a way that is completely loveless. No love for God, no love for God's truth, no love for one another. And when he comes to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he's addressed most of the other examples of their lovelessness, whether it's the lawsuits, whether it's the sexual immorality on one hand, or the lack of concern for one's marriage on the other hand, in every way, at every turn, turning their backs away from love for God and toward love for self. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 13, obviously, it bears practical instruction for the entire church for how they do everything that they do, including patient admonition and a proper practice of the Lord's Supper and all those things. But here, when it comes here, it's sandwiched between chapter 12 and chapter 14. Again, maybe that seems obvious to you. 13 comes between 12 and 14. But the point is that Paul introduced the topic of spiritual gifts in chapter 12. Chapter 13, he gives a longer discussion of what does love look like, how does love act, and then he'll come around to spiritual gifts again in chapter 14. And so when he talks about Christian love, obviously this is the characteristic of Christian love in every circumstance, in every location, every vocation. But at the same time, the Christian love that he speaks about here is particularly practiced in the way we live with our fellow Christians and the way we exercise or refrain from exercising our spiritual gifts, and in the way that we understand how God has given these people here for our fellowship, our koinonia. We'll talk about that sometime. Koinonia is kind of the word for communion, and it's not just like a fellowship, but it's really an intertwined fellowship. And so that care for one another is demonstrated in Christian love. And so when he begins, verse 13, the example that he starts with, maybe it would have pricked their ears and their conscience a little bit more than you or I. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And to you and me, we're like, yeah, okay. But here are the Corinthians who are taking pride in the various tongues and languages that they're speaking. And they're speaking and exercising that gift in a way that is not loving. And Paul's like, you know, realistically, I'd rather just listen to a cymbal because it doesn't do me any spiritual good. And it's not exercised in love. It's this pointless sound that has no distinction among the notes. And especially as we get to the very end of this chapter, we see that faith, hope, and love go together. But faith is worthless without love. That's his point in verse 2. If I have a faith that can move mountains but don't have love, I'm nothing. You know, who cares if you say or you think that you've got the strongest faith in the world? And even when Jesus talks about moving mountains and a mountain moving faith, the point isn't the strength of one's faith, because he uses the example of a mustard seed. If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, which is their mustard seed, and the tree that he's talking about is substantially, it's even smaller than our mustard seed, like smaller than a poppy seed, right? You can tell this mountain to hurl itself into the sea. Jesus says, even if you have that tiny, tiny amount of faith, you can do it. Paul says here, but if you don't have love, what's the point? Verse 3, if I give away everything I own, and if I give up my body that I may be burned, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And what he's alluding to here is the idea of hope. A faith that expends itself in hope, in hope of the world to come, but if that hope doesn't have love, again, it's pointless. And so Paul really says, if you don't have love, what's the point? Because even if you think back to Monday, Thursday evening when Jesus says, this is how all people know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, that is the primary characteristic of the Christian faith. And that command of love God, love your neighbor is the shortest summation of God's law. It's not the essence of Christianity, but it is the essence of the law. Obviously, the essence of Christianity is Jesus Christ for our sin, the perfect for the imperfect, so that we may be forgiven. But the essence of the law is love. And for the Christian, as somebody who has been forgiven, that love is a joy, because we have been made right with God already, and now we live as people who love, and now we live in a loving way toward others. The next paragraph, Paul includes a set of characteristics, because when we talk about love, especially biblically, love is always this, even if you talk about it as an emotion, it's an emotion that acts in a certain way and behaves in a certain way. It rejoices with the truth. It is patient. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Those are just characteristics of how it acts. And Paul says, if you're wondering if you're loving, don't just look at your heart and say, or look at your own mind and say, oh, I feel like I'm being loving. I feel very loving today. He says, look at your actions, because love is a law word. Look at your actions, and how are you acting? How are you behaving? Is really his point. Verse 8. And he kind of brings out the comparison with what they thought were the greater and the better things versus the lesser things. And they were overlooking and refraining from doing even the lesser things and going on to what they thought were greater things. Like in verse 8, prophetic gifts and speaking in tongues, having the knowledge to be the one to stand up and expound a certain portion of Scripture. Paul says all that is going to come is going to disappear, come to an end, but love won't. And so love has greater value, because the love that we demonstrate now and experience now is the same love that we will experience and demonstrate when we are in heaven. Consider verse 12. Now we see indirectly using a mirror, but then at that point in heaven. And that's basically this entire paragraph beginning in verse 8 is really a paragraph talking about the everlasting effects of love and the ongoing effects of love in heaven. Verse 12, now we see indirectly using a mirror, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully just as I was fully known. Where in this world, as we interact with God, God comes to us in a mediated fashion, mediated way. He comes to us through spoken word. He comes to us through Holy Communion. He comes to us through Holy Baptism. He comes to us in a way where he hides himself underneath these simple things, such as the means of grace, the gospel, and word and sacrament. But when you get to heaven, you'll see him face to face, and you'll know him fully. And it's kind of the same thing on a personal level, that here on earth, we kind of can put up emotional facades, where we say, you can see my face, you can see how I dress, how I present myself, but you can't really know my heart. And that's kind of how we tend to act with most people, especially those that we aren't close with. And when we get to heaven, there will be no fear, because there will be perfect love. Perfect love drives out fear. And when we get to heaven, we will be fully known, because there's going to be nothing to hide. So then finally, Paul summarizes, now these three remain. And he says, these three remain for eternity: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, as he had already said earlier, in verses 2 and 3 in particular. And so as you go about your day, we think about love is able to bear up under all the pressures that threaten to suppress it, because it is completely open to God, and, you know, believes all things, and open to God's great future for us, hopes all things. As you go about your day, think of the people that God has blessed you with, and think of a way to demonstrate to them that you love them, that you care for them, and that you hope to one day spend eternity with them in heaven. You can find us Sunday mornings, 2250 South Hollandsvania Road in Maumee. You could also find us on Facebook. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.